KJAN Sports.
It is time for that check of sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. Well, checking sports this morning, actually from a couple of nights ago, the Atlantic softball team picked up a Class 3A regional quarterfinal win over Shenandoah Tuesday night. In a final of 4-1, Atlantic played solid defense and mustered up just enough offense to move on to the regional semifinals tomorrow night. Atlantic opened the scoring in the bottom of the first with an RBI single from Allie Anderson and then followed that up with a triple from Alexis Handel. Atlantic later pushed across three runs in the third as Bailey Newell got the inning rolling with a leadoff double. Handel was intentionally walked, put two runners on, and Allie Anderson singled to load the bases. Reagan Pellett then reached on a fielder's choice to bring home a run. On that play, the Phillies tried to get a force out at third, but Kaylee Lorimer's foot never reached the bag, and Handel was ruled to be safe. Olivia Engler then brought in Handel with a sack fly to center. Carson Rush got a base hit to drive in the third and final run of the inning. Atlantic head coach Terry Hinsman thought it was a good team victory.
Good win for us, an opportunity to move on to the next round, see how things go, and against a tough Shenandoah team, we knew they were going to come in here ready to play. Allen always has them ready to go, and I thought their approach at the plate, and then Michaela Atkinson in the circle did a great job for him, kind of keeping us off balance. So, it's a kind of a, for us anyway, a team win against a scrappy Shenandoah team.
Allie Anderson got the win in the circle for Atlantic, allowing one run on nine hits with six strikeouts and no walks. Allie talked about the team's approach to taking things as they come and also talked about her night in the circle.
Yeah, we just got to take it one pitch at a time, and really we're all just focused on getting through one game at a time. So beginning I kind of struggled a little bit, but then I finally started hitting my spots, and then their balls mostly went to our infielders, so we just got out. So
the Phillies stranded eight base runners throughout the night. Michaela Adkins took the loss for Shenandoah, allowing four runs on seven hits with one strikeout and one walk as Shenandoah ends their season at 14-21. Atlantic improved to 28-5, and they'll next face Creston Friday night in the regional semifinals in Atlantic. The Panthers picked up an 11-9 win over Red Oak in the quarterfinals Tuesday. We'll have coverage of tomorrow night's game for you here on the radio. Chris Parks will have all the action for you, starting at 6:40 with the pregame. First pitch set for 7 o'clock. Postseason softball continues tonight with just a scattering of games locally in classes 4A and 5A. In 4A regional first-round action tonight in Region 2, Harlan is at Glenwood. While in Region 3, Perry plays at Carroll. Region 5 tonight, Class 5A rather, in Region 2, Abraham Lincoln will play at Thomas Jefferson tonight. Those games all getting underway at 7 o'clock, with the winners moving on to play in the next round on Saturday. In Major League Baseball action yesterday, the National League West leading Diamondbacks absorbed an 8-4 loss to the Cardinals. Yadier Molina capped the Redbirds' 5-run seventh with a 3-run homer that put St. Louis ahead 6-2. Jairo Munoz also homered, and Tommy Pham had 3 RBIs, including the tie-breaking single in the 7th inning. Elsewhere in the National League, the Dodgers beat Pittsburgh 6-4, Colorado 1-0 over San Francisco. In the American League, Cleveland's 3-2 win at Kansas City gives the Indians an 11.5-game lead in the AL Central. Trevor Bauer helped the Indians complete a 3-game sweep by holding the Royals to a pair of runs and 7 hits over 7 2/3 innings. Michael Brantley hit an RBI double in the first and scored on Edwin Encarnacion's sacrifice fly later in that inning. Also in American League action, the Angels beat Seattle 7-4, Houston over Texas in 10 innings by a 5-4 final. A lot of interleague play yesterday on the holiday. Boston beat Washington 3-0, New York Yankees over Atlanta 6-2, Miami beat Tampa Bay 3-0, the Chicago Cubs over Detroit 5-2, Philadelphia beat Baltimore 4-1, Oakland over San Diego 4-2, Milwaukee 3-2 over Minnesota, the New York Mets beat Toronto 6-3, and Cincinnati topping the Chicago White Sox by a 7-4 final. Well, Yankee second baseman Gleyber Torres has landed on the 10-day disabled list because of a strained right hip. Torres was removed from Wednesday's game after striking out in his second at bat in the 4th inning. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes have picked up a running back commit for the class of 2019 as Tyler Goodson, a running back from North Gwinnett, Georgia, committed over the last couple of days to play for the Hawkeyes. The 3-star recruit for the class of 2019, picked Iowa over Wake Forest and West Virginia. They were among his final 3 schools. He also had offers prior from Iowa State, Indiana, and Nebraska, among others. Goodson is the 14th player to commit to Iowa's class of 2019 and the only running back so far for that class. He rushed for over 1,300 yards and 20 touchdowns this past season. U.S. Representative Jim Jordan says he never knew of sexual abuse by a now-dead doctor who examined wrestlers that Jordan helped coach decades ago at Ohio State University. Jordan repeatedly denied claims by ex-wrestlers Mike DeSabato and Dunyasha Yetz, who say the powerful Republican congressman from Ohio knew back then that Richard Strauss was groping male athletes. Jordan acknowledged that Strauss was among faculty members and other employees who used the same open shower area as athletes in the building where they practiced. But he said he and other coaches with whom he has spoken weren't aware of any abuse by Strauss. Male Ohio State athletes from 14 sports have alleged sexual misconduct by Strauss, whose death in 2005 was ruled a suicide. A pair of graduate transfers will give the Drake basketball program some much-needed experience next season under new coach Darian DeVries. Point guard Nick Norton started all 32 games at Alabama-Birmingham last season and averaged 7.5 points and 5 assists.
When you can add a point guard, especially on a roster like we have where there's so many new guys, and you have a guy that's, you know, been through it and played in, you know, every type of environment and situation, and to have a guy that you can really lean on to kind of, you know, control the ball and, you know, get people in the right spots and those type of things, I think he was critical to beginning to put this whole class together.
DeVries says Iowa transfer Brady Ellingson will provide some added perimeter shooting for the Bulldogs. Ellingson appeared in 94 games for the Hawkeyes.
Brady's been tremendous. He has a great attitude. He wants to have, a good last year, and he's been approaching it with a very workmanlike attitude. He's, you know, got a little chip on his shoulder to be out there, and he wants to end his career on a good note. So, been very impressed with him, and we're excited to have him.
An exhibit showcasing the history of 6-on-6 girls basketball in Iowa is in the midst of a 6-city tour across the state. It was 25 years ago this year that Iowa's final 6-on-6 state tournament was held. University of Iowa professor Susan Burrell is co-curator of the exhibit, which was first put on display in Mount Vernon in March.
At Mount Vernon, the first stop, we were met at the door before the exhibit even opened on the first day by women eager to see the exhibit and to share their own stories.
The exhibit was moved to Ottumwa in May and is now on display in Guthrie Center through August 5th. Julie Goodrich-Blake donated photos and other items to the exhibit. She played for Adel in the 1970s when her team made it to the finals of the state tournament 2 years in a row, losing both of those games. During her junior and senior years, Goodrich-Blake received fan mail from around the state and was a superstar in her small town in Dallas County.
We were treated like royalty, really, because we had so much success and the people of the community enjoyed watching us.
Current University of Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluter played 6-on-6 hoops for Linmar in the late 1970s. Her team's never made it to the state tournament, but Bluter has fond memories of the pageantry put on display at Vets Auditorium in Des Moines.
Every year we'd go and we'd watch the state tournament and see all the glamour. I mean, it was packed, full attendance, and then the guys would come out in their tuxedos and clean the floor at halftime, and the spotlights would come on, and they'd announce the all, you know, tournament teams and the people that were being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and it just, the whole thing was marvelous.
Although the 6-on-6 game wasn't unique to Iowa, support of that sport was extraordinary, both in terms of fans and organization. Iowa has the longest-running state tournament dedicated to high school girls, with the first unsanctioned tournament held in 1920. Goodrich Blake, who went on to play at Iowa State University, said she feels lucky that she grew up where she did.
My mother played, my grandmother played, my aunts played. That's why I didn't realize other girls my age weren't getting to play across the country, because it wasn't novel to go out for basketball at Adel because everybody else had played before.
Iowa was one of the last two states to play 6-on-6 basketball. Oklahoma held its last 6-on-6 tournament in 1995. Each team in the 6-on-6 game had three guards on one side of the court, three forwards on the other. Shelley Lucas was a guard for the New London Tigerettes in the early 1980s.
My school was never a noteworthy school. Like, we didn't make it to state or anything like that. So we were playing because it was fun to play, and that's what you did when you grew up in Iowa.
Lucas, who's now a professor at Boise State University, earned a PhD at the University of Iowa in 2001. Her dissertation examined the controversy over switching Iowa high school girls basketball from a 6-player to a 5-player game. That traveling exhibit, currently in Guthrie Center, will make 3 more tour stops between August and the end of the year in Jefferson, Ames, and in Conrad. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.